This message is my second in a row on making disciples. I usually don't preach on the same topic twice in a row. But last time I spoke on Matthew 28, and I had no clue what I was going to talk about today when Sue wrote me on Tuesday asking for the sermon title and the verse. I had no idea, but the Lord brought Matthew 4 to mind. And so we're going to be looking at Matthew 4 today. So, again, as I said, this is my second message in a row on making disciples. You know, and as I consider where we are as a church in America and where we are as a church body, I find that this issue of discipleship is no longer simply essential. It's always been essential in the church, discipleship. It has always been essential. It has always been foundational. But I find that now in the Church of America and in our church body, I find that now, at this moment, discipleship is urgent. And I feel that God's people must be willing to be who He desires us to be. So, to begin, I think there are a few errors we make when we think of discipleship. So we're just going to kind of confront those really quickly before we get into the message. And error number one is we think that discipleship is simply evangelism. All right, evangelism is contained in discipleship. And you cannot have discipleship without evangelism, but you can have evangelism. I always struggle over that word, evangelism. My tongue is tied. But you can have evangelism without discipleship. Evangelism is bringing the gospel to the world. Discipleship is bringing the gospel to our lives. Jesus said, disciple the nations. And so we've kind of confused the two of late, that we think as long as we're sharing the gospel and leading people to Christ, we can drop them and move on. But that's not really what Jesus called us to do. And so error number two, we think that discipleship is for the new believer. But it's a lifelong process. And we may have discipleship courses that we attend. We may meet with a mentor and be discipled. But discipleship doesn't end when the course ends. And discipleship is meant to continue on through our relationship with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit manifested throughout the church. We disciple one another. And the Lord disciples us. Error number three is we separate discipleship from belief. But God does not do this. He does not separate discipleship and relationship from belief. We read in John 3:16, whoever believes. And so the word believe in our mind says, I believe that. Yeah, I can see that. I cognitively accept that. And so we read John 3:16 and we think, yeah, I believe. But the word in John 16, whosoever believes, that word believe means cling to, rely upon, place your hope and trust in. That is relational. That is life altering. That is life redefining. And that is discipleship. And we'll get into that more in just a bit. So a few weeks ago I preached, as I said, on Matthew 28, Jesus' last earthly words before His ascension, commanding His disciples to go and disciple the nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey all that He has commanded. Today we're going to be taking a step back, not backing away from making disciples, but let's take a step back from Matthew 28 to Matthew 4. Is the message of Christ at the beginning of His ministry to His disciples the same as the message of Christ at the end? So let's look at those words of Christ. In Matthew 4, verse 18 through 22, He said, the calling of the first disciples. Matthew 4, 18 through 22. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, His brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And He said to them, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. So we'll be spending our time this morning on verse 19, looking at it word for word, which says, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." None of the words of our Lord were spoken haphazardly. He is not like us who toss around words carelessly, sometimes meaning what we say and sometimes not. The words of Christ are always deliberate, targeted, purpose-filled, and timely. He says what he means and he means what he says. So the first word is follow. In the Greek, the word is doute. And it may be more accurate to include the word come. Come follow. Come to me. Come after me. Come with me. Come follow. So Jesus is calling these men to leave what they are doing and come to and come with him. This is not a work. It's an invitation towards dependence. Jesus is saying, leave behind, release your nets, release your old life, your old identity, release your works. This is not a work. Follow is not a work. If we don't like the word follow, we misunderstand the word follow. Jesus is saying, release your works and place your trust and your future in my hands. We had this occur on a practical level this week in Detroit. 2 days before we were scheduled to depart, one of our leaders became very ill, enough to need to see doctors. And so we found ourselves scrambling to pull together leaders to cover her. We had all our ducks in a row as far as leadership was concerned, but things happen. But God and his church worked it out. Y'all came together and made it happen. Now, I was ready to cancel the trip, but God had it in hand. Amen. And even throughout the entire week, we kept finding our plans turned upside down. And it would have been easy to grow upset, grow angry, become ineffective, but God had it in hand. Right. Follow me, yes. Not your plans. I love to have things set up. Love to have things in order. I didn't always. I always was kind of like fly by the seat of my pants. But then I started working with people who were very much not fly by the seat of my pants. And so because I didn't want to get yelled at anymore, now I'm nervous whenever I don't have plans. So God really spoke to me about that this week, that, you know, do I trust? Follow me, not your plans. At the same time that this is a call to dependence and trust in Christ and a release of our old selves unto him, it is also a deliberate fixing our eyes upon Christ. It is a purposeful following, coming to and coming with Jesus. And nothing else. Follow, we're working through this word by word, follow me. Not your nets. Not your career, not your friends, not your community, not your party, not your convictions, not your opinions. Jesus. And Jesus alone. Most of us have tried to follow another driver in traffic. On the thruway or a highway with traffic, this can be quite the complex feat. And if we were to try to follow multiple vehicles, we would lose one, if not both the vehicles or all the vehicles we were trying to follow. Following requires a singular focus, singular concern. And we are now concerned with so many various issues. We live in an age where opinions are rampant and shared openly and often without concern for truth. In this age of opinion, no one needs mine. They need his. People come to me and ask, well, Pastor Brian, what do you feel about this issue or that issue or what's going on? What do you feel about this person? What do you think about whatever? Well, let me just say it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter what I feel about the myriad of issues in our world today. In fact, I was going to list several, but I knew that all I would do is offend us. Offend several, if not most of us, by just making that list. And that offense would come because, and here's the kicker, I want you to hear from this. Offense would come because we have too many opinions. Opinions which have their foundation in things other than Scripture. And the love of Christ as found in Scripture. What matters for me and for the whole of Christendom is that we discover and conform to the opinions of Jesus on all matters, which includes how we see and love all people, even those we find hard to love. His thoughts, his heart must supersede and change ours. Now, it's easy for us to say things like, those people are wrong, and I disagree with them on this issue or that issue. But I want to ask you, why? Is my opinion his? Do I see those people with the same concern for them that he has? Do I want Jesus for those people? Do I have their eternity in mind? Or just my side's victory? That's uncomfortable, isn't it? As uncomfortable as what I just said may be, the day-to-day life, apart from these large social issues, is even more uncomfortable and even more important. We are called to follow Jesus. Follow Jesus when we want to be justified, when we want to be vindicated, when we want to be approved, when we want to be consulted, when we want to be respected, when we want to be effective, and we want to be relevant, when we want to be supported, when we want to be loved and agreed with, when we want to be right. Jesus says, follow me. Praise God that he has made his opinion known to us. Beloved, it doesn't have to be this hard. We live in a world where we are constantly bombarded with discussion and argument. We live in a world where we feel we have to align with one side or another. We live in a world where we feel we have to figure it all out. We don't! In fact, we are to be like little children who depend on the fact that he has it all figured out. It is he who will save us. He who is right, no matter what. He who is loving, no matter how the world defines love. It is he who is loving. It is he we must align with, and nothing and no one else. Jesus is the truth. We don't need to know everything about every issue to follow him. We just have to know him. Paul says in Romans 16, he says, I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. Follow me. Come with me, walk with me, live with me, be one of mine. Come, follow. And how important these connecting words are. And when you follow, this will happen. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers. I will make is one word in Greek. It means that he, Jesus, will do something in or to these men that he is calling to follow. Now, before we go on, this is a good place to confront a possible escape that we might see here. There's a lot of people who, when they preach, and you can get mad at me for this, but there's a lot of people who, when they preach, they like to give an out. They like to give an escape and kind of like leave it up to you to draw your conclusions and to you know, take it or leave it. I hate doing that. I want you to see that there's no outs in Scripture. There's no outs. God wants you to apply the truth. So, perhaps Jesus, here's the escape. Perhaps Jesus was only speaking to his disciples when he spoke of making them fishers of men. Certainly he was using their career as a play on words. So certainly he meant it for them and them alone. And that might be an easy escape, an easy way out. But that is until we remember Matthew 28. Go and disciple the nations. Go and make disciples. Jesus says to his disciples, make disciples. Disciples are called to disciples. Disciples are called to make disciples. These men in Matthew 4, disciples. We as believers are not simply called to believe. We are to be followers. We are to be disciples. We are to be fishers. Every one of us. But it is not we who make us fishers of men. It is Jesus. He says, I will make you fishers of men. Follow me. Depend on me as a little child. Come to me. Come with me. And I will, look at that next word, I will accomplish this in you. I will make you from one thing into another. We cannot do it. We cannot will ourselves to be kingdom builders. We cannot effectively decide on our own to win the world for Christ. Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Romans 8:29 is one of my favorite verses, and it says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. God's plan for us, beloved, is to be conformed to the image of his Son. To be like him. To be poured out of the world's mold and poured into his mold. We do not do this to ourselves. It is accomplished by him. I, Jesus, will make you fishers of men. To be like him is the natural, or rather supernatural, consequence of being with him. And isn't that what following Jesus is all about? Being with him. Come, follow me, he calls. But know that when you do, everything changes. I change everything, says Jesus. I change you. In John 3:2, it says, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. When ultimately we come face to face with Jesus, the consequence to that moment is the same as it is today. The Jesus that lives in us in this moment, if we are in Christ, the Christ that we are in fellowship with, is the same Christ that we will meet someday face to face. And the consequence of that moment is the same as the consequence of having Jesus in you today. In that ultimate moment of completion, God's design for us will be fulfilled. For that is the supernatural consequence of being with Jesus. He makes us like him. And he desires that process to begin the moment we come to him. He desires that process to be occurring now. Follow me and I will make you. I will accomplish my will in you. I will make you as I am, fishers of men. This Savior who came to us, who in his grace comes to us still, desires that we be with him and we be made by him into one who shares his very heart and mind, his very life on all matters and all people. It cannot be any other way. For if we know him, if we are his, if we are in Christ, Christ is in us, and Christ in us will bring his message to the world. Whether it be across the sea, or across the street, or across the room. Every follower, a fisher of men. Every disciple, making disciples. Matthew records that Jesus begins his ministry to the world and to his disciples with the same call, the same charge he closes his earthly ministry with. Reach the world for and with Jesus. Amen. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. His word is true. We may not be true. He always is. If we are not involved in the process of making disciples, we are not experiencing what we were made for. Let me say that again. If we are not involved in the process of making disciples, we are not experiencing what we were made for. If we are not involved in the process of making disciples of Jesus, then tragically we must ask ourselves the question, have I really been following Jesus? Jesus says, if you follow me, this is going to happen. If you are following me, I will make you a fisher of men. So it follows that if we're not fishers of men, if we are not in the process of making disciples, something in our relationship with the Lord is broken. Beloved, with all the missions, all the causes we can be involved with, there are but two purposes that we were made for. Jesus said that the law and the prophets all depend on two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Follow me. And love your neighbor as yourself. I will make you fishers of men. There is no greater love than laying down a life for a friend. There is no greater way to lay our lives down than to allow Jesus to live in and through us. And there is no greater love than reaching the world, even those who reject us, with Jesus. There is no greater joy than walking with Jesus and seeing him change lives. Beloved, I plead with you, let's not shortchange ourselves any longer. Let's get involved with making disciples. If we haven't been doing it, let's begin to do it. If we are a disciple of Jesus, he desires to make us disciple makers. If we follow him, he will make us a fisher. That's what he desires for you. That's why you were made. We were designed for two purposes. To know him and to make him known. May we even now follow after our Lord. May we even now depend singularly, ultimately, and totally upon his grace, his power, his purpose, and his truth. And may we submit ourselves joyfully to his conforming us to his image. Joyfully releasing that which is us and ours in favor of that which is his. And may we, with his heart, as ambassadors for Christ, reach the lost that he loves so deeply. God making his appeal through us, imploring them on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That call, his call, is for all of us. All of us. Not just your pastors. Not just your teachers. Not just those who are excited about evangelism, and you know who they are. It's for you. If you're a follower, you're to be a fisher. Yeah, that's good. If you're a disciple, you are to be a disciple maker. Jesus will do it in you if you let him. Let's pray. Lord God, how great you are, how gracious, how patient, how loving, how kind, that you would be willing to take these lives of ours and exchange them for your life within us. What amazing grace that is, Lord. That you would long to live in and through one such as I. That I could know the richness of knowing you and seeing you change the lives of others. There is nothing that matches that, Lord. That is what we were made to do. That is who we were made to be. And so, Lord, these lives, our lives that matter so much to us, our plans, our ways, you know we treasure them. But you are so much greater. So help us to see that, Father. Help us to see you, to hear your call, and let go of these nets. In Jesus' name, amen.